This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
You're now in the Essential Zone, where we seek to be informative, inspirational, enlightening, and dynamic. But more importantly, we seek to be fair and balanced. There comes a time when the game tolerates no spectators, only players. There comes a time when we must recognize that our individual aspirations shape our collective destiny. There comes a time when getting in the game, despite the risks, despite the challenges, regardless of the cost, is simply the right thing to do. There comes a time when we must find our hearts, find our soul, and pursue our purpose for the greater good of all, for country, for humanity. There comes a time when we must manifest our true greatness. Yes, there comes a time, and that time is now. So let's get down to the essentials. The essentials. Serious radio for serious people committed to advancing the national conversation. Evening and welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I'm your host, Hubert Edwards, and you are joining us for The Essentials, The Reset. As usual, we are going to have ourselves a wonderful conversation. We're going to get into the essentials of certain issues which have been prevailing over the airwaves, over social media, in the newspaper, over the last short while. And we are going to try to take a bit of a different perspective, ask some questions, have a conversation around some of the whys. We don't always know the answers, but certainly we know some of the questions that we want to ask. And I'm sure that you will want to get in on this conversation this evening. And so the numbers are 323-6232, 325-4259, 325-4316. And if you contribute to participate, you have a view or suggestion, then certainly we want to hear from you. We also want to encourage you to text into us, and we will have your text read. And so we are going to be joined by our colleague and show host, Mr. C.A. Newry. Many of you know him. You listen to him on Guardian Radio AM. You follow him on social media. And he has a way of articulating issues. Sometimes persons think he gets a little bit too cynical. But, you know, if you look behind that, if you look deeply into his expressions, he's seeking to tease out sometimes uncomfortable ideas or uncomfortable perspectives on a particular issue. So we are joined this evening by Mr. Cecil Newry, and so we are going to jump right into the conversation. Welcome to The Essentials, or welcome back to The Essentials. I don't think we're not hearing you very clearly.
But can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Go ahead. It's good to be online, Cousin Edwards.
Okay, so certainly good to have you here with us. This evening we are going to talk about citizenship. And the recent discussion, we are aware, the background is that the country has tried two separate times to undertake a referendum. In both instances, those failed spectacularly. And this new administration, the PLP administration, will say, we are not going down that road. We think that the issues that need to be solved can be solved by ordinary legislation, as enunciated by the Attorney General, the Honorable Ryan Pinder. What are your views on this, Cecil? Is this the right way to go? Is this, in a sense, ignoring the views of the people, or
is it truly that this is the route which we could have taken a long time ago?
First of all, I can commend the Attorney General for it. I think the
case. We're not hearing you clearly.
I'll do my best. I think the debate has been hijacked. And if you don't hear me clearly, I'll come back on with my phone. But if you are, I'll continue. I think the debate has been hijacked. It's not a debate about citizenship per se. This is a debate about equality. And I think that we need to have a better discussion as to what is the objective of the government and is the government going above and beyond. The issue here is not necessarily about giving extra rights to anybody, but to make sure that all people have the same amount of rights. And I think that debate is not being happening properly at this time. So I would like to commend the Attorney General for putting it forward. Again, I don't think that this is a referendum question. It's a particular system of enacting laws. Enacting laws of equality is something that the government is mandated to do, and this is why they are.
Yuri, you're coming in and out. I don't know if you're moving around, but at some point in time, you're clear, and then it deteriorates rapidly. But the point you're making is that this really isn't about according any type of rights to an individual, but really a discussion about equality. Because in one instance, the male who is married to an individual abroad and they have children, the children have the right to be registered as citizens of the Bahamas. In the opposite direction, where the woman is married to a foreign male, the situation is reversed. We also have the circumstance where children are not married, the parents are not married. And where the male Bahamian male is unable to pass on his citizenship directly to his children who are birthed or who have been the child that he has gotten with a foreign lady, a foreign woman. And this therefore comes back to your point, I think very pointedly, that it's really about equality, who gets what. At the end of the day, it seemed to be disenfranchising male or female or female or male in different instances.
Yes, I just want to let your producer know that I'm also joined this room via my phone, which may be clearer. So if you could let me in via that, and I'll disconnect with this program. But that is exactly the point I'm trying to make. The issue. See, the Constitution is an overarching mechanism which governs the entire Bahamas. But the Constitution allows to set laws. So this is what the Attorney General has enacted, that he's going to enact his right. The government's going to enact his right to enact laws.
Yeah. And we are trying to get you on your phone, which may be a little bit clearer. So what seemed to be happening really, and usually once there's a discussion around citizenship, you know, it seems as if the usual players are always kind of, you know, ready, because we have heard from the Christian Council, we have heard a bit of a salvo from Dame Joan. We know that persons on social media are indicating, well, they're sharing their views. But in many instances, as you would have indicated, it seems as if, you know, we are going tangentially to what the real issue is. And of course, it's being complicated by the fact there seem to be some very serious underlying fear within the Bahamian society. And at least certain persons who kind of believe that this is now going to maybe open the door for individuals who will become citizens and eventually overrun those who they consider to be the true beneficiaries of this title, those who should be regarded as citizens. We know, you know, we've heard a number of terms being used: organic, native, true, full blood, seventh generation. You know, what are your views on this? And I think you need to lose one of these devices.
Oh, I thought I turned the other one off. Allow me to correct that. But there is a debate about what it is to be Bohemian. And there is definitely a concern because we have a large population of migrants. And mm-hmm. definitely Bohemians are concerned about such. Right? And because of the concern and fear in a large population of migrants, that has overcome the debate about what is important, which is equality. Right? We are competing for scarce resources. Mm-hmm. And because we are competing for scarce resources and we have a large population of poor migrants here, there are a number of Bohemians who are afraid, and rightly so, concerned about the migrant population increasing. Mm-hmm. However, that has nothing to do with the equality or the rights of individuals within in the Bahamas. Because of our fear, we are willing to disenfranchise other Bohemians. And that is what the concern is about right now, that there are women who should enjoy the same amount of equality as men. There are children of Bohemian fathers enjoy the same rights as children of Bohemian mothers. And that should be the debate. And that what we should be talking about. And that is not being discussed. I find that the usual suspects are coming forward who are not prepared to ensure equality. However, they are prepared to sensitize Bohemians, spark their concerns, fears.
Yeah, so Mr. Nuri is having some connectivity problems, but the point that he was making is that the issues, there are two separate issues which are being conflated. And one is the idea that they are Bohemians, male and female, who have a right or who are at this point in time treated differently, unequally. And that is what is supposed to be fixed. The Constitution gives the government through the cabinet, parliament, the right to advance certain rules in terms of fixing or putting in rules to advance the desire of the Constitution. Certainly, we would appreciate that a constitution is not going to discriminate against individuals in ways which are going to be adversely affecting them. So you wouldn't expect that the constitution is going to give a right to a male citizen, which it does not give to a female citizen, where that right is intended to confer rights to citizens in general. And then there is the next side which he speaks of, and that simply is the concern of individuals underground, regular Joe like me and you, everyday person, who take the view that, look, we are aware, and you know, some persons may not come out and frame it in this particular manner, but we are aware that, you know, there's a significant migrant population. One Asian diplomat recently pegged the number at 150,000, a very significant number when you take into consideration the fact that the Bahamas has on where you get the source of your number, 400,000 or 300,000 citizens. So he has pegged that at 150,000, didn't differentiate whether it is those persons who are irregular or persons who are here legally. But to have a number like that in the back of your mind, I'm sure that it gets into the contemplation of individuals when they think about the ability to really have those persons potentially become citizens. And as Mr. Newry said, and we're going to get him back on the live line shortly, when you look at it through the scarce resources, it becomes really a pressure point, which may be one of the fundamental flaws in how we are going about this conversation, how we are transacting it, because maybe, just maybe, there is another side to this argument. Rather than looking at it through the lens of scarcity, you're looking at it through the lens of potential. Does the Bahamas have significant markets? Does the Bahamas need more individuals in order to expand its own growth and development? Is the Bahamas at risk if it leaves individuals unregularized, who may be qualified to be so regularized, if he leaves them out there for too long, and these individuals then, because of lack of circumstances, because of lack of opportunities, then becomes a part and parcel of that disenfranchised group and are likely to expand the grouping of individuals who may be below or at the poverty line. And then that becomes a social impact on the country, which the country will then have to pay for. So we have Mr. Newry on the line, and we were having some challenges with hearing what he's saying. So we'll ask him to continue to share his view.
Yes, I pray that you can hear me better.
Yes, I can hear you very well now.
Excellent. My point I was trying to make is that the debate is flawed, and hopefully the opposition and the government can come together to put forward a clear and comprehensive debate on what is being, or what they are trying to do.
The question is, who is supposed to be framing this conversation? Who is responsible for the proper framing of the conversation?
And one would say the government, but the government is made up of the opposition and the sitting government together. And we know that both government has put this thing forward before. And this should be a joint effort to explain to the Bahamian public on what is it that they're trying to do. And the overarching goal here is to make sure there is no discrimination against Bahamians. And I find that because of our fears of being inundated by immigrants, and it's a reasonable fear. I understand the fear and the concern. However,
Is it a reasonable fear? Why would you say it's a reasonable fear? I understand that the numbers are there, right? But there is a undercurrent to that conversation. So if we were to take the migrant population from wherever they come from, and you parse that out in terms of persons who may be irregular and individuals who have a reasonable ever-closing windows, but those individuals who may have a reasonable claim to citizenship, is there a problem with that grouping, or is there a problem with the other grouping?
And in truth, and I appreciate the question that you put forward, and I'm not sure if the Bahamian people are able to distinguish the difference. Because of our fear, because of the stark numbers in front of us, we are unable to entertain or analyze that what you're trying to say, that the numbers of persons, what they call Bahamian in waiting, has already been accounted for. We believe that there is, or when I say we, there's a number of Bahamians who believe that there is a million plus, and talking about the Haitian numbers,
Haitian. Hold on. If we're going to have a conversation, I think we have to be very serious about that. To evoke such a big number would be, I could be this conversation that we're having this evening, because the fact of the matter is that if you are faced with a number as large as a million, even the number which the diplomat referred to the other day of 150,000 becomes very uncomfortable. When you think about this from a national capacity, the capacity of the healthcare system, capacity of schools, capacity of other social amenities which are provided by government, the larger that number, the more uncomfortable it becomes, not just for the regular citizen, but certainly for policymakers. Wouldn't that be the case?
But see, that's my point. We're not speaking from a point of education. We are speaking from a point of emotion. Nobody knows the number. We see the Haitian diplomat throw out a number without any Bahamian census to suggest that he knows more than our Bahamian government and our Bahamian statisticians. So that's what makes his numbers preposterous, because he didn't do any census. He just pulled the number out from where he already pulled it out. However, because of our fare, because of our proximity to one particular island, what I'm going to say is Haiti, the concern has become overwhelming. The fare and the concern has dulled our senses to be reasonable in terms of what is being discussed. We no longer want to talk about equality. We no longer want to talk about justice and for all. And our fare is now saying that we want to change, manipulate the Constitution in order to have a foreign force control the Bahamas. And that fear has now dulled our senses to even think reasonably in terms of what is being discussed. And this is where the opposition and the government must come together to explain to our leadership. And when I say our leadership, the people like the Christian Council, who should know better, who should understand that this is a top conversation is about equality and not necessarily about citizenship. And now we see other persons joining the bandwagon, also evoking emotions, also not using data at all, but to evoke emotions of fear, to say that, hey, if we allow whose job it is to make laws, whose job it is to make sure that these equality reigns, if we allow them to do their job, we will be inundated by foreigners. And that is now the current debate, that we no longer want to have the government do its job via the Attorney General say that we haven't lost to make equality. We no longer want them to do their job and say now we are being pressured internationally, or we are manipulating the system to create a foreign entity or a subset of people. And this is where the concern comes in, that people who should know better, people who should be reasonable, people who are supposed to be exposed to education, because this is not our first time talking about this. We've had two times to discuss this and go into detail about this conversation. But it seems as if there are a segment of society who are not prepared to debate it properly at all. They are waiting, and they are out to make sure that this conversation will not be had. They don't care about equality, and they're willing to Bahamian men to be disenfranchised to ensure that their affairs are not being inundated by foreigners is not come to pass at all.
Is there some element of elitism taking place here, Mr. Nuri? And I ask that from the perspective that if you go back historically, elitism and some cultural nuances. If you go back historically, you would appreciate that in 1967, 1973 was independence. You would appreciate that at that point in time, the idea of being married, being a married man and woman having children, was accepted in society as almost a major achievement. It was looked upon as the way to go socially. Right across the Caribbean, and certainly here in the Bahamas, being a bastard was a dominant reason. You know, many times these days, I think maybe younger people will hear the term, you know, you bastard. And it doesn't carry the sting that it carried 50 years ago. Because being a bastard 50 years ago meant that you were disenfranchised, you were not going to have the opportunities, you were looked down on socially. But the Constitution itself is built such that it embraces this idea of man being married to woman and having children. But we have, I think, moved on. I'm sure that the law was passed which says no child is to be considered to be a bastard. But the Constitution has not moved forward socially in that regard.
I smile at what you say, because the same persons who are complaining about this law now also complain about the bastard law also, or the inheritance law also. They are very 19th to interpret what the Bahamas is. They do not believe that a person born out of wedlock should have any right to their father's inheritance. And thank God the government at the time took it upon themselves to change the law. And this is what the government at this time is doing, the same thing. They see that this 19th century way of thinking cannot work in this 20th century world, that people are entitled to rights and equality. And this is an extension. What is happening now, the debate, what is happening now, is an extension of the debate about equality regarding of inheritance to outside children and inside children. And all of this should be put inside the conversation to understand what is the objective, what is the agenda of the government. And this is why I think that the opposition needs to join in on this conversation. We understand that the church itself has a biased view, a skewed view on how they see society. They see they are patriarchal in general, where men are in charge and the view of women is diminished, right? And that is culturally sound in their Christian beliefs. But however, there's a modern Christian in terms of how they see the importance of women, how they see the importance of children, and we need to have that discussion moving forward on how we view ourselves. And this debate is still not new also. This is also a for lack of a better word, an ancient debate about the empowerment of black people. This debate happened again also at the turn of the century, post-slavery, where the same fears of white Bohemian or the Anglo-Saxon race, where they were concerned that too much rights would be given to black people. And this is also a continuation of that debate. And we need to have a conversation, a linear conversation on how we have moved as empowered ourselves as a people, and how all of these are interconnected, and how all of these are related to where we're trying to go in the future.
And I think that's a very important point. We're going to take a break here. When we come back, I want to come back to this particular issue that you just ended with, because I believe that in order to solve the issue going forward, we need to, one, identify the source of the fear. We need to, two, have a very honest and bold conversation about what ails the people, what caused them to be thinking in the way they are. We also need to connect this current conversation with what the thinking was in the past, because some of this fear that one may observe is actually inherited. Some persons don't know why they feel the way they feel, but it was because of the way things were, and it has been handed down. In other words, we have been socialized to think in a fashion. And then, of course, you talk about black people. I don't know if it's so much a black issue versus a white issue, as opposed to a socioeconomic problem which may be emerging at this point in time. We're going to take a break here. You're listening to The Essentials, and we are having a conversation with Mr. Stesanuri, also a show host on Guardian Radio, but he is better known as a social media influencer, a historian, and an individual who is willing to look on the other side of the conversation. We take a break here. Don't move. I'm right back.
Next level solutions. Next level solutions. At Next Level Solutions, we assist companies and organizations to understand and strategically resolve governance, risk, compliance, regulatory, finance, and operational challenges, their performance and grow. Next Level Solutions, a dynamic consultancy built on experiential knowledge. For further details on our service offerings, visit nlsolutionsbahamas.com or call 376-8951. Next Level Solutions, practical solutions delivered.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on In Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Welcome back to The Essentials, The Reset. I'm your host, Hubert Edwards, and I'm having a conversation here with my guest, Mr. Cecil Newry. And we're talking about citizenship, but from the perspective of seeking to kind of pull back the layers and ask the question as to why is there such a difficulty? Two actual referendum, the questions which were put to the people effectively failed. In many ways, one could argue, especially in the case of the females, that they essentially voted against their own rights. They chose to take the route of protecting some element, whatsoever that element was in their mind, because of course we know that across the two referendum, you know, it's fair to say that they became politicized. But there were also other issues. For example, there was a massive debate around the desire to change the reference to male, female, and there was this whole idea that this was kind of a backdoor for same-sex marriage and all of that sort of issues. And so, you know, both the Christian Council and other, you know, upstream, all walks of life, they had their own set of challenges with this. What I want to put to you this evening, Mr. Newry, is whether or not this lack of momentum, the inability to solve a problem which in many instances are vexing for both male and female, is not one which is likely to have the greatest detrimental impact on individuals who are considered to be in the lower socioeconomic grouping, and consequently, in the long run, to have some level of debilitating impact on the country at large.
And I hear your commentary, and I put this to you. Earlier I mentioned scarce resources in economics, and that at the lower end of the Bahamas, where persons fight and compete for scarce resources, those are where the immigrants or where the fare of the land are. So there are a reasonable, this is what I mentioned earlier, there's a reasonable fare of Bahamians who are afraid that they would have to compete for scarce resources. But be that as they may, as that may, we must first understand what a constitution is and what a law is and what's the difference and what's the mandate of the government. The prior governments tried to enshrine into the constitution. This is where the consultation came in. And they had a referendum and say, we want to enshrine it inside the constitution to be a constitutional right, right? Mm-hmm. And the people of the Bahamas voted against it. They don't want this particular equality bill to be enshrined in their constitution. Fine.
Okay, stop there, Mr. Neary. I just want to you to stick a pin there. Because it speaks then fundamentally to a national psyche which says we are willing to live with the reality of disenfranchising individuals who we know ought not to be disenfranchised, because the idea of equality is fundamental to a constitution. And if a constitution does not do that, it would then make a very clear argument that that ought to be changed. And it should not be changed by ordinary legislation, but it should be changed in a way that it is entrenched in the constitution. And in that regard, the persons who so argued for going down that route, in my mind, would be right in doing so.
It goes back to my point where I said the fair is real, and economics is also real, that Bahamians are prepared to disenfranchise themselves, disenfranchise their daughters, disenfranchise them their sons, in order to feel safe and secured in the future. At this present time, they don't feel safe and secured because they believe they are being inundated by a immigrant populace. And that fear is so overwhelming that they are prepared to ignore all reasonable thinking of equality. And this is where the debate is at. It's unfortunate that we have educated persons who can assist in moving the debate because they can appreciate that it's not necessarily about economics. But it's a debate about opportunity and enfranchisement, right? Where we are in terms of the conversation. But I wanted to say that we must also understand the difference between the government mandated to make laws, this is why we have parliament, and then the constitution. Because the people have voted and have declared that they do not want to enshrine this particular equality law into their constitution, the government should be mandated to ensure equality through laws.
Yes.
And now we see that there are segments of society who are saying that our government should not be making laws.
Okay, so here is where I think I'm not disagreeing with your point in general. I agree that governments are elected, or different administrations are selected to ensure that the national security is taken care of, that the overall well-being of the citizenry is taken care of. And part and parcel of this is managing this whole idea of citizenship. Speak on the counter side of the argument that you're putting forward. I think you are making the point that with the referendum having failed, we should conclude that to mean that the general population wishes not to have equality enshrined. That's
we had two referendums. One must conclude that.
Yeah, one must conclude that because the referendum failed twice. But the further point you are making, if we extrapolate your argument, is that that failure does not preclude facilitation through ordinary legislation.
And that's what I'm trying to say. Two separate mechanisms within our government and how we govern the Bahamas. The Constitution is for the people. However, we elect a government to enact laws. And I think that this administration, understanding their duty, they have decided that since they have a mandate to enact laws and a mandate to ensure that the citizenry has equality, that they are pushing forward, that there was once a question on whether the Bahamian public is being consulted. Of course the Bahamian public is being consulted. This is how the consultation is done through debate inside the House of Assembly. The government tabled the law. The law is debated, is tabled two and three times, and then it goes to the Senate, and then it goes signed through by the Governor General, and then it is published. And that is how it is put to the public for consideration. And this is what the government is doing, that they are doing what is mandated to them, what we elected for them to do, which is to create laws for the betterment of society. And this is what should be pushed, and this is what should be understood. Now, if the Christian Council has an issue of the laws being enshrined in the Constitution, fine. I can appreciate that. However, it's not their mandate to stop the government from doing what they think is right and putting what is on their agenda and debate laws and enact laws, because that is their mandate of what a government was elected for.
At one level, you could make that argument. I can't disabuse you of your opinion if you don't wish to. But given the role that the Christian Council, and I know you've been zeroing in on the Christian Council quite a bit, but the opposition argument to this, I don't think we have heard a very loud argument coming from the Christian Council in that regard. I think we need to be very fair and balanced to all the parties involved. I have actually seen pronouncement from opposition members which says, you must respect the will of the people, which in fact, to go back to where I extrapolated your argument, which is basically saying the people didn't want it, so you can't do it through ordinary legislation. So when you make the argument that government, which is a combination of both the ruling party and the opposition, it seemed to me that at this point in time, government, the party can outvote the opposition, but government is not on the same page.
And I agree with you. And I think this is a mistake by the opposition. And I think that it's reasonable for the Bahamian people to watch the opposition and judge them for it. Because I believe it's political expedience that they are embracing, because their administration also believe in equality and equality for women and equality for the children of men. It's most unfortunate that the opposition leader did not take the opportunity to say, well, these were the frustrations we had, and we shall join you in educating our people to make sure that they understand and appreciate the fact that this is not a debate about citizenship. And we're not going to enshrine this in our Constitution. However, this is a debate about equality. And we, as a government, understand and appreciate that it's the right of the sitting government to make laws and that they will be debated within the House of Assembly. Now, if they had an objection, or they can make that objection in while the debate, when the laws are put forward and said, well, I fundamentally disagree that this particular law that is being put forward is good for the Bahamas, and state the reason. And instead of us doing that, I see the leader of the opposition has abandoned his duty of care to make sure that there's proper debate and informing the Bahamian people instead of he's putting it forward to the government to explain themselves instead of joining them to ensuring that there's equality written within the law. And that's
but
most important.
How has he done that? We've heard from the former prime minister, who says he agrees with the approach. They wanted to do it, but they just didn't get around to it. We have heard from
the former prime minister is not the leader of the opposition.
No. I'm trying to make a point here. We understand that he is not the leader of the opposition. I'm actually asking you a question. I said that we have heard from him, and he has aligned himself with this type of an approach. what exactly is the current leader of the opposition saying for you to conclude that he has not done his duty in bringing the conversation to the place where it's supposed to be?
He has not joined in this administration and making sure that the people understand. Instead, he has put himself in a safe seat to say, okay, I will not assist you. However, you have a duty of care to explain. Now, yeah. If this agenda fails,
Before you go further, you say he has not joined in. Now, exactly what is it that he has not joined in on? Because I understand that the current administration have made certain pronouncements. They have indicated this is the way that they want to go. But there has not yet been, as far as I am aware, I may have slipped out one or two times and missed something. I am not aware of a public education campaign which has been started, or a public debate, or a set of points which has been laid out as to how it is that we are going in the direction we're going. Going back to the point that you had earlier, that there need to be a level of education. And if this was done and then the opposition leader fails to, you know, align with that or to contribute to that, I think it would be reasonable for you to conclude that. But at this point in time, isn't that premature?
As yet, as you know, no bill has been to the government plant at this present time. And when that has been tabled, we are able to debate and analyze what it is they intend. However, the opposition, I believe, should at least say that in theory, we agree that equality is the order of the day, and we support any type of legislation that puts forward equality for all citizens. Then if the opposition decides that we will wait on what the government has put forward, and we will add and critique to make sure that the best laws are put forward through debate, I don't think that has happened. And instead, there has been a defensive stance. It has been a stance where they put forward that they are not necessarily sold, that they're putting themselves in a safe spot. And I think that is unfortunate in such an important bill and for important laws that is being put through. I think that it adds to the fear and the concern, unwarranted concern, of the Bahamian public, who are concerned about scarce resources and competing with a foreign entity. And the debate is not about that. Debate is, again, about equality between men and women, and the equality between the children of Bahamian men and Bahamian women. And I think that until that debate has been enshrined, and that is the only conversation that is being held and heralded, I think that the fear is going to be overwhelming. I think that the opposition will find themselves in a bad state if this is put forward, because if they become the government, they'll be doing the same thing again, debating on how we can put forward equality within our laws.
I definitely hear the point you're making. I want to say to you that the debate that you speak of is actually the one you say which is not happening, which should not happen, is the one which is happening. The one which ought to happen is not taking place. And so there is a raging debate in social media, in the bars, in the barbershops, wherever persons come together. There is a raging debate about that. And until and unless there is a coming together of the minds, a collective genius across the country, which agrees that this is truly, really about equality of the sexes, the ability of a man to pass on his citizenship to his offspring in all circumstances, and the right of a woman to pass on her citizenship in all circumstances, of whether she lives in the country, lives outside the country, married to a Bahamian national or not. Until the conversation zeroes in on that, makes the argument very clear that to deny individuals this right is a fundamental breach of a human right. Until we get to that place, we are going to be, I think, stumbling over our own legs, stumbling over our own desire. And as you put it, we are going to be encumbered by fear. I'm not saying the fear isn't of worth. I'm not saying that we should dismiss it. But in this particular instance, at least for this particular leg of the transition that is necessary to put persons in the state that they ought to be as citizens, I think we are bumbling over ourselves. We're going to take a break here, and when we come back, we're going to pull on your historian self, Mr. Newry, because I want to engage you in a little bit of a deeper conversation about Bohemian and whether or not this type of a psyche isn't suboptimal to nation building, isn't detrimental even to the idea of building a country. You're listening to The Essentials, The Reset. I'm your host, Hubert Edwards. We're having a conversation with Cecil Newry. Don't move. I'm right back.
Accelerator Small Business Development Center is here to help small businesses throughout the entire Bahamas. To better serve you, we've made it easier to contact us. Call 461-7232, WhatsApp 359-0626 or 359-2394, email helpdesk@sbdcbahamas.com or submit a ticket at accessaccelerator.org. The Access Accelerator, empowering small business.
So, what would you like to discuss?
Insurance, Doc. It's so frustrating. I go to the mall for motor, drive to Bay Street to get a home quote, swing east to file a medical claim, then go west for a pensions appointment. Don't even get me started about life.
I'm going to prescribe CG Atlantic. They have all the insurance you're looking for.
Really? Thanks.
With all the insurance you need, we're like a doctor that doesn't waste your time and money. CG Atlantic. Good like that.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Next Level Solutions. Next Level Solutions. Solutions. At Next Level Solutions, we assist companies and organizations to understand and strategically resolve governance, risk, compliance, regulatory, finance, and maximize their performance and grow. Next Level Solutions, a dynamic consultancy built on experiential knowledge. For further details on our service offerings, visit nlsolutionsbahamas.com or call 376-8951. Next Level Solutions. Practical solutions delivered.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
Welcome back to The Essentials, The Reset. We're having a conversation with Mr. Cecil Newry. You know him, he's a social media influencer. He's a radio talk show host. He is a historian. He's an all-around guy, always up to something. Oftentimes something good, sometimes not so good, where he tries to irk and get under the skin of some persons. But like I said before, at the end of the day, it's always with a view of getting to the other side of the conversation. We know him for his work in the social arena, helping students to get devices, always supporting charitable endeavors. And so we have an individual here who, regardless of how you may view his, you may see his views, is one who is highly committed to his community and certainly to the country. So, Cecil, the era I want to touch on is one which comes really close to home for an individual like me. As you are aware, I'm a transplant. I originally was born and live in the Bahamas. And you, by you, I mean me and everybody else, on a day-to-day basis, you become aware and even sometimes involved in these conversations which very, very quickly and readily carve out the viability of certain people. And it has emerged, I think, in recent time with greater, repetition, with greater alacrity, with maybe even greater seriousness, where individuals draw the line in the sand with words or terms like organic behemoth, we mentioned them before, native behemoth, choo-choo behemoth, full-blooded persons, sometime of the Anglo-Saxon, Caucasian vein, will throw out the persons that, you know, we have been here for, you know, 14 generations, so on and so forth. How does this type of an argument, how does this acceptance and maybe even pouring into the psyche of the country really maybe undermine this, you know, experiment of nation building? Because while on one hand, there is a legislative framework which empowers individuals, and there is also a social view and an ongoing sentiment which seeks to diminish that and reduce that in ways which have the potential for, you know, really setting one group against the other. Why is it that this is emerging so much at this point in time, and how do we get beyond this?
And Mr. Edwards, this is not new, or this is not a nuance for the Bahamas. This is happening globally, and it has repeatedly happened to various countries again and again. However, I must say that the Bahamas is going through a renaissance period, a rebirth of trying to know and trying to define itself. We are going through exciting times where we are a proud nation trying to develop ourselves. That being said, I believe in the future we will be reintroduced to verbiage and definitions which will, in fact, explain what we are going through. For example, there's a term as nationalist, where they're saying that Bahamians who first. However, there's a term called patriot, which means that Bahamians who put the best agenda or the best obligation of the Bahamas first. A nationalist and a patriot is two different definitions. An example of that is a patriot will try and find the best doctor in the world to come to the Bahamas to service Bahamians, whereas a nationalist will find the best Bahamian available. The best Bahamian available may not be the best person for the job, but because they are Bahamian, they get the job. But a patriot would make sure that we have the best of everything in order to push the Bahamas forward. And in terms of definitions, I wanted to make sure we distinguish the definition between a patriot and a nationalist. Now, going to your explanation of what is true Bahamian, what is organic Bahamian, because we're going through a rebirth, because we have a number of persons who are competing for scarce resources, there is a need to define themselves. This happened in the United States also in terms of being Republican and being democratic, and they defining themselves at in around 1776, right? We find that there are a number of Bohemians who want to make sure that they stand out, that they are different.
Nuri, just to slow down there, the definite Republican or a Democrat is not the same as saying you are not American. You're not truly American.
Yes, and I appreciate what you're trying to do, but we are a young country with young ideals and young words. So I understand that you're trying to distinguish how one can be Bohemian and still be different in terms of organic. And I put this to you. We have yet to appreciate the importance of our Constitution, and that our Constitution is the highest law in the Bahamas, and that our Constitution trumps all other interpretations. That by right, if the Constitution gives you the title of Bohemian, and you swear in, that trumps the term organic, that trumps the term true Bohemian, that trumps the term of real Bohemian or organic Bohemian, because the Constitution is the most supreme law in the land. But because we are young and because we don't appreciate the Constitution, and this goes straight back to the debate we had earlier about enshrining things and what's the difference between enshrining and what bringing true laws, I find that there are a number of persons who have yet matured or who have yet to study to understand that Bohemian citizenship or Bohemian citizen is more important than all these new nuances of new definitions, right? But there are a number of persons like the persons who are Lutheran Adventurous descendants who believe that they are more Bohemian than Black Bohemian. There are a number of persons who came to the Loyalists, Black and White Loyalists, who believe they are more Bohemian than those who are descended from slaves. And then there are descendants from slaves who said because of what they've gone through, because of how they became Bohemian, they are entitled, and that's how they become organic Bohemian, because of the sweat and tears and the sacrifices their ancestors went through, that they are entitled to the land. But I say to you that the Constitution trumps all of that, that the Constitution is what we should be heralding. Those who understood what we were trying to do, what we are trying to strive for, what it is to be Bohemian, had made laws and has enshrined things that we must seek first before we create all of these nonsensical definitions. And I am a concern that some of these nonsensical definitions that we have created are separating Bohemians. They're separating Bohemians and making enemies of Bohemians who under the Constitution are equal. And we must be wary and be concerned about persons who do that. And because we see in history fascist groups who came about the same way, saying that they are more, in terms of going back to Germany, more German than the other German. And we see that they eradicate a whole segment of people. And we see that with the Tutsi and the Hutu tribes also, them being more Rwandan than otherwise. And we need to be concerned about people who are pushing these definitions, because it tends to never end well for... And I want to also, as a person who studies history, to know that even though we had different segments of Bohemians, Native Americans, Anglo-Bohemians, or only Black people were ever called Native Bohemians. And this is also a term of diminishing people, because it was created by a particular establishment to say that they are of African descent. But all of that does not take away from being Bohemian. I believe that a Bohemian is those who are born in the Bahamas, and also Bohemian are those who care about the Bahamas, transplant like yourself, who care and love about the Bahamas and make sacrifices to make sure that the Bahamas develop, and that your sacrifices and my sacrifices can be put together and compared and say, you are as equal as I am, and you have Bahamian children. And I fear that there are a number of persons who would say that your children are less than their children because originally, despite your sacrifices, despite your commitment, despite your efforts to make this country better. And that is a concern. And this is that we need to look at and be concerned and wary of such people. Because such people tend to be violent at the end.
Well, we hope it never gets to that point. But I do take your point. Because any conversation or any type of a behavior which continues consistently, which have the effect of diminishing the value of citizenship, of creating what is sometimes referred to as second-class citizenship, of seeing some persons as being more entitled despite the legal mechanisms in place, as you mentioned, the Constitution, which gives that type of a right, I think it creates a potential danger for there to be at least animosity from the point of view where individuals could be not which rightfully they should be given, where individuals may be restricted to in the way they can advance themselves from a socioeconomic point of view, and also the extent to which there is social cohesion within the country. And so these are, when I look at it, I don't look at it from the point of view that, hey, if you believe that Hubert Edwards is from Jamaica and are not to be seen as equal as you. From my personal perspective, I don't really have a problem with that. I'm really comfortable with who I am. I am more concerned about the long-term impact it might have on social cohesion and the extent to which the country's potential for growth and development may be undermined as a result of these happening. And so we pray, we hope that persons become more sensitive to the fact that these aren't necessarily totally they're not big. And also, I believe that as we talk about the need for a national conversation, for a educational conversation, I think the policymakers and those who have platforms need to understand and need to start to get to the place where we have more conversation around developing or encouraging greater understanding across the board, an understanding between the immigrant and the non-immigrant, understanding between the different social classes, if you will, understanding between socioeconomic grouping, such that persons get to the place at the end of the day where it is not about A or B or C, or as in the case of the United States, it's not about Republican or Democrat, but at the end of the day, if you ask an American, who am I? Regardless of the fact that they may be fighting 5 minutes ago about being Republican or Democrat, at the end of the day, they are American. And that is the sense which need to prevail in the Bahamas, regardless of who the persons are.
I like to quote a motto from another country I love and which the Bahamas need to embrace. Out of many people, we are one. And this is something that we tend to forget, that the Greeks came to the Bahamas and their contribution helped us. That we had Cubans, we had people from the West Indies in terms of the police force came to the Bahamas to help build us. And that when we were at our weak and fragile moment, that these foreign persons who are now Bahamians and contributing, that their children are now enshrined in the Bahamas, helped bolster us up at that time. Right, there was a need for the West Indian police at that time, and their contributions should be commended and remembered. There was a need for the Greek and the Chinese Bahamians, need for the Lebanese Bahamians to build Bay Street, and I believe that we must be reminded on how the Bahamas came about, right? Sometimes we tend to forget that and believe that this country came about by ourselves, right? That Freeport was built by foreigners for foreigners, and that we inherited it, right? And but when we tell our story and remember our story, I think that more behemoths will come together because we see our differences and we understand that all of our differences need to be celebrated. And I think that there may be a need now to remind us how the origins of the Bahamas came about. And it came about through a movement of people from the earliest times of loyalists, the earliest times of Lutheran Adventurers, the earliest times of Gullah Geechee movement, the earliest times of Native Americans, all moved to the Bahamas to make the country what we are right now. And I think that we need to be reminded of that, that out of many, we are one people.
Yeah, and you know, the thing I want to throw at you back, right, is the fact that when you look at the Bahamian motto, it's very powerful, very, very powerful. Yes, you could evoke something else from somewhere, but it says forward, upward, onward, together.
Together.
Forward, upward, onward. You see, this, it's calling you to do a certain thing, to move forward, to move upward, to keep going, but it the genius, I think, of the motto, the absolute that this has to be done together. And I think that's an important point where we can take a break right now. And we will come back, and I want to throw something at you. I don't know if I will throw you for a loop, Mr. Nuri, but I'm going to try anyway. You're a brilliant man, you individual who stays on top of the news, and you understand the workings of the Bahamas. So, you listen to The Essentials, The Reset. We're going to take a break here. When we come back, I want to throw something at Cecil Nuri and see exactly how we deal with it. Because I believe that the Prime Minister of the Bahamas, the Honorable Brave Davis, is onto a particular thing. And that particular thing is antithetic to all that we have discussed here today. At least the issues which are the challenges which have emerged from the discussion that we are having today. So don't move. I'm right back.
The Access Accelerator Small Business Development Center is here to help small businesses throughout the entire Bahamas. To better serve you, we've made it easier to contact us. Call 461-7232, WhatsApp 359-0626 or 359-2394, email helpdesk@sbdcbahamas.com or submit a ticket when you visit our help center at our Empowering Small Business.
So, what would you like to discuss?
Insurance, Doc. It's so frustrating. I go to the mall for motor, drive to Bay Street to get a home quote, swing east to file a medical claim, then go west for a pensions appointment. Don't even get me started about life.
I'm going to prescribe CG Atlantic. They have all the insurance you're looking for.
Really? Thanks.
With all the insurance you need, we're like a doctor that doesn't waste your time and money. CG Atlantic. Good like that.
Next Level Solutions. Next Level Solutions. Solutions. At Next Level Solutions, we assist companies and organizations to understand and strategically resolve governance, risk, compliance, regulatory, finance, and operational challenges, maximize their performance and grow. Next Level Solutions, a dynamic consultancy built on experiential knowledge. For further details on our service offerings, visit nlsolutionsbahamas.com or call 376-89. Next Level Solutions, practical solutions delivered.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
Welcome back to the Essentials, the Reset. We're in our final minutes. We've been having this conversation about citizenship, but not getting too much into the deep nuances, if you will, that we usually hear around town. We are isolating from this whole conversation what we believe to be the critical point, what we believe to be the debate which ought to be happening, and that this is fundamentally about equality, equality of the sexes, where the right to pass on citizenship, whether male or female, is enshrined in either the Constitution or some other mechanism. I believe that given the fact that this is, in my mind, a human right, to the extent that the Bahamas have a Bill of Rights, I think we have one, that should be embedded there. And if that is the case, then it should be the challenges with that. There has been two go at the Constitution in this regard. There was another go for another reason, and all have failed. I think historically, we have been informed that going the route of an amendment to the Constitution is filled with significant amount of peril. So, Mr. Newry, you recently heard a speech from the Prime Minister when he spoke at the University of the Bahamas regarding the National Development Plan. What are your views on that? What did you take away from that particular speech? Was there any one particular thing which stood out to you from that speech?
I hear you say the Prime Minister, and I want to go back to the former PLP administration.
No, I'm not allowing you to go back. You have to stick with that particular one, because that's right where the conversation is today.
And the reason why I try to backpedal there is that the had a plan where they wanted to develop the country. I am grateful that the current administration is on that same wicket, and that they are pushing that forward. I think that whatever national plan that is to be followed and embraced, that the Bahamian public should be participatory in it, and that there needs to be more conversations on it. I know we had once upon a time an aggressive agenda of having some constitutional reforms, and that didn't go anywhere. I'm hoping that the Bahamas is and Bahamians are more matured moving forward and quicker in terms of embracing change. So I would say that as my preamble and my conclusion to the Prime Minister's
right.
speech.
What if I said, did he, have you heard the Prime Minister in recent time refer to this term economic dignity?
I'm not familiar with it.
Okay.
I understand what the term is, and I assume that that's just being able to be able to pay your bills in general and service yourself.
Right. So I'm going to throw this at you, right, because I believe that the conversation that we've been having, we're having so far this evening, hinges fundamentally on this issue. I believe that the Prime Minister, based on his pronouncement in that particular lecture and some things I've heard other places, is really, highly sold on this idea of instigated by Gene Sperling, who was the economic lead for both President Obama and President Clinton. It speaks to three particular things. And it talks about economic dignity from the point of view that an individual should be able to care for a family without economic deprivation. The second pillar is to pursue potential and a sense of purpose. And then the last one is to meaningfully participate in the economy with respect, not domination or humiliation. So meaningfully participate in the economy with respect, not domination or humiliation. The point I'm trying to draw to you right now as we come to the end of this conversation, Newry, is that this idea of economic dignity, which is being embraced by the Prime Minister, runs antithetical to the development that we are seeing today, i.e., if we do not solve some of these issues around the citizenship, about the ability to transfer your citizenship to your children, if we do not solve the issue around, you know, dealing with individuals who are born in the country and may have a right to citizenship, then these three things will become exponentially more difficult for the average individual who finds themselves in that grouping and will eventually find themselves on the periphery, potentially, of society. Your thoughts?
I'm trying to remember a quote by the Prime Minister who, and basically it said that it'll be a challenge moving forward in terms of repatriating a number of people, and that we must secure our borders instead to make sure there's no new people coming in. And I was surprised that nobody caught that when the Prime Minister made that pronouncement, that there'll be a challenge moving forward in terms of repatriation. And hopefully I'll get that quote and post it that people have that conversation again. I think there is a concern about livable wage and minimum wage. And livable wage means the most basic amount of money you need to survive. And then you use the term economic dignity if livable wage is a debate where there are people who are saying that we can't afford to have the most basic of living in the Bahamas, and that we must be content with just having a workable wage. So that is a concern. But then you mention a subset of Bahamians, or the better word, Bahamians in waiting, who we now know that more than likely 70 to 90%, they will be made Bahamians. They will be Bahamians. And that we are not recognizing and we're not empowering this grouping of people. I think that is a mistake. That is a concern, because these people can be used and can be embraced to help develop the Bahamas. This is one reason why we sign on treaties and laws to make sure that we educate these children. This is the reason why we make sure that they're not sick living in our communities, because in the long term, we know that these are the people that we will have to depend upon in order to help build the Bahamas. I see there is a constant debate on we such peoples. But when you speak to governments, when you speak to the treaties that we've signed, one must conclude that more than likely, these people will be living with us, right? These will be the new Bahamians moving forward. And if that is so, we need to find strategies, we need to find our concepts on how we can embrace these people, indoctrinate these people of living in the Bahamas and having that this is the best country in the world, and making sure that they contribute to the Bahamas and the best way forward in terms of economically paying their taxes, in terms of giving back to society. So these are the things that we must be working on now instead of this concept of separating us. I think that that's the should be the proper debate on where do we see the Bahamas in the future and who do we see living in the Bahamas in that future and the next generation. Bahamas is now, and that we need to start talking in that type of sphere.
And I think those are important points. I like I said to you, I was going to throw this at you without leaving enough time to actually delve into it. But I definitely want to come back to at some other point in time. This idea of economic dignity embraces the same point you made about having a livable wage, because it makes the argument that individuals should, regardless of their social economic condition, regardless of where they work, regardless of who they are, regardless of the conditions which they find themselves in, the mistakes which they have made in the past, they should be able to live in such a way that they are able to care for family without economic deprivation. They're able to pursue potential and a sense of purpose, and they're able to meaningfully participate in the economy with respect, not domination or humiliation. In a nutshell, all of the things which you have said, maybe in a different way, really points in this particular direction. We have to get to the place where we embrace bring together and exploit, using exploit in a positive way, exploit the potential of every single individual for the benefit of the Bahamas. I'll let you have your final word. We have 1 minute to go, Mr. Miller.
Thank you very much for the invite to your show. I enjoyed the debate, the exchange. I'm hoping that the opposition joins the government in terms of this debate about equality and move it away from this debate of citizenship, because the debate of citizenship has a fair where Bahamians are concerned, especially Bahamians at a lower economic level who earn on scarce resources, right? I think that we have a number of people who can explain what is happening in the Bahamas, and that we need to take advantage of those people, and those people's persons need to come forward. And it's sad that they haven't come forward as yet to help within this debate.
And I want to thank you so much for being here, for sharing your voice with this conversation. I hope that this will represent some sort of an impetus for us to kind of turn the issue over on the other side and start to look at it from the lens of the individual, to look at it through the lens of human rights, to look at it through the lens of equality, because fundamentally that is where the issue is at. All that's left to say for us now is to be good, walk good. Remember that COVID isn't over, so you need to still take care of yourself. We always like to end our show by saying, do not allow your greatness to become a victim of your unwillingness to change. You have been listening to The Essentials. Good night.